Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. And I just want to thank you all once again. Thank you all sincerely for listening to Tando Radio Show, that's brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And today is January the 19th, 2017. I have a live show for you today and looking forward to today's show. And anytime if you'd like to call in on today's show, don't hesitate. Give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And we're going to have today the author of the Black Ten Commandments, author Tony Caliga. Will be on the show today. And so definitely want to be around for that. And that is going to be what the show is going to, part of the show is going to be about. And so if you would have any questions or comments and listen to this brother and talk about why he wrote this book and what's, you know, how is it beneficial to us all. So we're going to be talking to Tony Caligula today. There you go. I got it. I just said it fast. So that's what we're going to be doing today. But before we get into that, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by going to the website for Black Talk Radio Network. And you can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And that will lead you to the website for this network. And over in the far right-hand margin, you'll see a green icon with holding hands, and it says donations. Click on that button, click on that icon, and that will prompt you to be a part of sustaining and creating the ability for Black Talk Radio Network to continue to do what it's been doing and to grow from where it is to further on. Very, very important. And you can do that by giving some of your financial energy. Your financial energy is extremely, extremely important because it is how it nurtures and it helps to mature this business, this institution, into what it should be. You could do that by supporting Black Talk Radio Network. Also, Black Talk Radio Network, speaking of BTR Community, has a social media outlet known as BTR Community. And you can find that on the website, or you can go to www.btrcommunity.com, and that will lead you into the BTR Community, which is where Black Talk Radio Network has established a social media outlet for all of you social media lights who like to engage in the social media activities that you engage in some of the mainstream, not for you, not meant for you, but meant to exploit you, mainstream social media outlets known as, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all the other ones that they have. I don't even know how many that they have. Snapchat and Snapchat and all that other Snapchat and all those other things. But you can do all of that with BTR community, and you don't have to worry about being adversely affected by doing that, because Backtalk Radio Network is not going to sell your identity to any bidder, nor is anyone going to really harass you or adversely affect you because of you're on there promoting something that you think is relevant, important, or you make a posting or you make a comment or you express yourself. It is a place that was actually put together so that you could do that in a more succinct and holistic way without the ramifications of what it is that you put into it. So definitely, BTR community is only $24 a year, so join up for that. Also, if you're interested in acquiring real money, and real money, the most perfect form of money is silver, gold, platinum, palladium, and rhodium, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. ProsperityMint. You could go there and you can see what's in inventory there, and definitely email wolf6pack1@gmail.com, that's WOLF, the number 6, PACK, the number 1, at gmail.com before you make a purchase. And believe me, so that someone can talk to you and explain to you the process of buying precious metals for the first time, to help preserve your labor and help to preserve your family, and to put yourself in a position of advantage economically. So you could do that. So let's jump into what's in the news.
Dave,
before we get in. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, before you get into your show, good evening to you and the listeners. I sent an email out to the BTR broadcasting family, as well as our donors to the Black Talk Media Project Foundation here in North Carolina. And so in this particular email, as I'm announcing a maneuver I'm about to make, and, you know, just letting people know, trying to be transparent about what I'm doing, and to right. welcome any feedback. But in that email, I kind of recounted how Black Talk Radio was born, where it was born, and how we are about to, in a small way, return to its place of birth. And that's all explained in the email. But it made me remember, we actually started off in 2008, Dave, as a social media platform. It was a digital radio combo social media platform, the first platform. We were using what was known as a Ning platform, but we were paying for it. You know, you customize it and all of that. And then they changed their platform, and they changed the platform. We're going to force you to upgrade. And I didn't think it was cost effective, so I was like, I need to find something else. And that is how BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com in its present form was born, merely as a digital radio, black digital radio and podcasting platform. And we, you know, didn't have the social media piece to it until, you know, you brought it up just last year, sometime late last year, during the summer, I believe. But I was just thinking about that today. Hey, Scotty, this isn't the first social media. BTR community isn't our first foray into social media. When we first launched in 2008, it was a social media platform. But now, you know, we have two. We have two, you know, Black Talk Radio and the social media as standalone platforms. So, man, just the changes that we have come through over the 8 years we've been in existence. And I just wanted to share that.
You know, and that's amazing, Scotty, because you look at it and you can see the overall, from where you started to think about the necessity from this, from when you were actually doing what you were doing, but you were on a different platform. And I think it, when you were telling us you were on, what is that called, Scotty?
Blog Talk Radio.
And it didn't, you know, they wanted to kind of control and manipulate and everything else. And one thing I'm going to tell you something about Scotty. Scotty never tries to influence your show as to what you should be doing or this or that. I truly, truly appreciate. And this brother, and I'm so glad, this is, you know, Scotty is really a testament to having, you know, fortitude and being steadfast in your message, because Scotty could have went off and did something else, or could have just complied with to get along, to go along with Blog Talk, and then we wouldn't have had Black Talk Radio Network. And so, as you said, you know, when you really think about it, it started off in social media, and then look what it's growing into. It's so important now, and it's only going to be even more important. So, as we always say, Scotty, you know, when you create a business, it develops a life on its own. It becomes a real person. And how it starts to mature and starts to grow is really up to you. And I just want to really thank you and all the listeners for making Black Talk Radio Network, Tando, and all of the programs here a success. And I'm only looking forward to this growing even more. But it's amazing to look back at where it started. In 2008, you know, at the height of the financial crisis, Black Talk Radio Network was being born. And that's not a coincidence. Out of the adversity that Scotty was going through in his life with his health, that wasn't a coincidence. And you're not listening to this show by coincidence. So we are doing what we're supposed to do, and it's only going to grow from there. And I just want to say, brother, we're always going to be with you and supporting, and this is so important to you, your family, your community, which is our family and our community. And it's the real example of what everyone should be emulating and mimicking is your commitment. And that's what really, you can't just talk about it. You got to put energy behind it. And if you know Scotty's story, you would see, you know, what it really took to get Black Talk Radio Network where it is now, but really where it's going far beyond my physical existence, Scotty's physical existence, or our listeners' physical existence. This thing is going off into the generations that have yet not been named. So just want to thank you, brother. And, you know, congratulations. You have done a more than exceptional commitment to our people. And I appreciate
you're welcome, Dave, and love you for it.
But
I always have to acknowledge the people who gave their financial energy when I first launched. You know, I mean, it was one time, man, where I didn't know we was going to make it. And then out of the blue, here comes X amount of dollars. I want y'all to keep going, you know. So, hey, I feel like I'm on the divine path, but without the help of those I met along the way, it wouldn't have been possible, and it won't be possible, you know, without a collaboration among like minds.
Collective prudence, yes, sir. And that's why it's so important for us to support. And I got your message, Scotty. I'm going to be here, so I got it. Appreciate. And so true. And then, you know, one day I just want to have a, you know, because Scotty does a lot. One day when Scotty's, because what I love about Scotty is always here making sure that the network is, you know, able to do what it needs to do. And I really appreciate it. So one day I just, you know, Scotty is always here, and I appreciate, man. One day we got to just do a show, you know, just for Tando with just Scotty and I. Or just Scotty, what he wants. But Scotty does a lot of stuff whenever he gets a chance. We're going to turn the mic over. I'm going to be here and we're going to do it, but we're going to turn the mic over to Scotty, even though Scotty has his show and everything else. But just if there's something that he wants to, you know, interject in and just I think that would be great, and we're going to look forward to that. So, all right, so let's jump into what's in the news, everyone. Got a couple of things that we posted before we get into today's show. And just waiting on our guest, and Tony, once you call in, all you have to do is hit **, and then that will unmute you. I'll see you there, and just you know, announce yourself, and then we'll get going in the show. So let's jump into what's in the news. A couple of things that we posted there. What's in the news? Let me set this straight. Here we go. Getting ready. Oh, it was a little more than I thought. Oh yeah, really important. I think there was some really, really important stuff that we posted inside of the news. And everyone, if you're not a part of BTR community, get a part of BTR community as soon as you possibly can. $24 a year. All right, so here we go. First article came from is Treasury data is techdata.treasury.gov. This came from the United States Treasury, and it was the monthly, Treasury securities of major foreign holdings. Okay, so that was the foreign holdings, and it does it a month and a month and a half back. So it did for November. And if you look at it, very, very important, critical, critical, critical. It shows, and if you pull up what we posted there, it shows that China had, before I do that, let me get this other one first. Okay, here we go. From the treasury.gov, and this was my commentary. The lying game of theft. Oops, I misspelled that one. I meant to put it the other way. The other lying, not lying down, was busy running around this morning. They're trying to hide. The lying game of theft. The story they're trying to hide is China dumped $66.4 billion in 1 month. And it's right there on the website so that you can see it for yourself. And this is critical, ladies and gentlemen, because the key to this is that if China is, dumping treasuries, that means somebody else has to buy those treasuries. And guess who's going to be doing it? It's going to be you. It's going to be you, and that's, you're going to be doing it by way of all sorts of things. So this was critical. So they talked about how much, what they hid in this November capital data for November, the Treasury International Capital Data for November, is that they try to make it seem like everything is okay. Everything ain't okay, ladies and gentlemen. China dumped in 1 month $66.4 billion in 1 month. Now, with that, and we also posted, I posted the year to date. Here it is. And it's right there on side of the Treasury. China dumped $215.2 billion year to date from November of 2015 to November of 2016. They dumped $215.2 billion. And I said in my commentary was the economic smackdown is really underway with a major surprise on the horizon. And all you will have to do is look at the numbers, and it tells you all those dependent on the U.S. dollar is going to be crushed. Because it wasn't just China that was dumping. China used to be the largest holder of U.S. treasuries or U.S. debt. They're not anymore. It's Japan. It's Japan now. And this is critical because China is going to continue. And then there's already confrontation between the celebrity figurehead president-elect and China, where he's been actually targeting them for a very long time. It wasn't just recently. He's been doing this for a very long time. Why is this so important? This is why I think this celebrity figurehead person was put into place, because then it will get plausible deniability for the collapse of the U.S. economy and for this bankruptcy and for the receivership of this U.S. economy. It's all a scam. It's all set up by, in my opinion, Kissinger, and we're going to look at that later on at some point and at some time. Telling. China dumped $215.2 billion year to date from 1 year, from last year of November to this year from November of 2015 to November of 2016. It's right there. You can see it for yourself. But see, a lot of us don't care about this stuff because it's not what we've been schooled to look at and to care about. But if you're wise, the wise heeds good instructions. Don't want you to be the fool that learns from experience that your cash is trash. and it was used as a tool to steal from you, steal your energy. So, so important. So check out those, and we're going to definitely look at those in depth and have a show just on that, because that is so, so important, especially as we move forward. Next article, this one came from Bloomberg. And my commentary is, I laughed out loud. Jamie Dimon says Eurozone may not survive if concerns are ignored. The Euro region could break up into political if political leaders don't get to grips with the discontent that sprung support for the populist leaders across the continent. JP Morgan Chase Company Chief Executive Officer Jamie Dimon said on Bloomberg while at Davos. And let me tell you, this is all the setup of the great wealth transfer and the great collapse that is going to happen. First is going to be the euro, then the dollar is going to follow after. I mean, the real target, ladies and gentlemen, is everyone here in the United States. Oh, all those jobs that's so-called coming back, and we're going to talk about this. You've heard me say this before. Yes, the jobs are coming back, but they're not going to be paying you nothing. They're not going to pay you what we're paying people from the standard of living and the value of the dollar before they left. The reason why they left is because they couldn't make a profit. They went to other countries and they could make a profit because they didn't pay the employees that were really their slaves, because they established a profit margin around that. That means that they're going to come back here and they're going to pay you even less than what they paid in other countries. Just watch and see. Just watch and see. It's all a scam. It's all a setup. It's all about continuously of depriving you. But the key is, they're not the problem, ladies and gentlemen. You and I are. And those that choose to try to get the system to give them what they wrote in creed, but they don't live in deed, that you have some form of freedom. So then you go to the system, and by you going to the system, you're giving energy and a life form to it. Just like Scotty gave a life form to BTR from his energy. By you playing by their rules, they rule. So check out that article. Next article also came from Bloomberg. Russia fears that Trump won't be such a great deal after all. This is so funny. And it's not funny, but this is nothing new. This is continuous. Continuous. Russia is giving Donald Trump the kind of foreign television coverage usually reserved for Vladimir Putin, with his most popular propaganda hailing the president-elect this week as a man of his word. But inside the Kremlin, the initial euphoria over having a Putin admirer in the White House is giving away to the skepticism that meaningful relations with the U.S. is not going to happen. Let me tell you something. Putin played this to the T. Now think about it. The arrogance and just how brass and how brass Trump is. Now Putin can do pretty much whatever, and Trump can't say anything because of how he was played, intentionally or unintentionally. It really doesn't matter, because it's a deception for you. And I know one thing. If I was a voter, I wasn't going to vote for Hillary at all. That didn't matter. Didn't like, because I know what this system is all about from Barack. Didn't like or care about. I know what he was really about and what some of the things that he did. And I understand Trump, what he's going to be about and what he's going to do. They're all celebrity figureheads so that you can see them. When the devil is always in the details of maintaining the subjugation and enslavement and of the masses, particularly you. So this is going to be very, very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. So next article. This one came from This one came from TribLive.com. Pittsburgh Mill Mall in frenzy sells for $100. The whole mall and some adjacent properties sold at bankruptcy at auction for $100. And this is very critical. And I said, click on the article and it will come up. And in my commentary, economic warfare is where you lose the battle for freedom. Many don't care to educate themselves to win. There was a reason why that mall was able to be acquired for $100 when it was valued at, let's pull this article up real quick. Did I have it up already? No, let me pull this article up real quick. When it was built only in 2005, and it was worth at $190 million. And this is what I'm going to say. It behooves you to get a real financial education, because your overall prosperity and in preserving your labor and your energy depends on it. And it gives you an opportunity to position yourself properly. It goes on. While his wife was across the hall shopping for shoes, Leo Braden of Hamner sat on the sale of the Pittsburgh Mall Wednesday morning. "I'm curious to see what will happen," he said. "We're up at the mall a lot." While his wife spent about $50 on shoes, the sprawling retail complex in Fraser sold for not much more than just $100. Attorney Nicholas Godfrey made the opening and only bid at the foreclosure auction held in space formerly occupied by ITT Tech, which closed in December. He was representing the mortgage holder, Wells Fargo, which foreclosed on the 1.1 million square foot shopping center in November of 2015. As of October of 2015, the developer Mills Corporation owed the bank $143 million, with continued interest and cost. So now here's what was very, very important about this whole thing. Oh, here it is. The transaction was a consensual foreclosure so that there would not have been any other bidders. A research analysis with New York City-based TREP LLC, which provides market research for real estate and banking industry. Wells Fargo is the trustee of a Morgan Stanley Trust, which holds the mortgage on the mall. The trust will become the owner and when the process is completed. See, this is the thing. It went for $100, ladies and gentlemen, because there are things economically that you should be knowing. And by you not knowing, this is how your prosperity can always be stolen, where you can never catch up to this system. They bought it for $100, but they were the only bidders because they were the only ones that was going to be allowed to bid. And there was a reason for that. Now, I'm going to tell you this. In my opinion, you should find out as much as you possibly can about what really was going on, and not just from some things that you think you really, really need to get a true economic education as much as you possibly can so that you could properly leverage yourself. This mall sold. It is over 1.1 million square feet, and it sold for $100. And I'm going to tell you why, ladies and gentlemen. Because those with assets understand how the economy works. And what they do is that they transfer the liability of default from them to other people that don't know, that hold no assets. And just what this system has taught you in school is not assets. It's not the defining assets that gives you great leverage in different situations. What they teach you in school is how to obey and follow the rules so that those that know can use those rules to their benefit and to their prosperity at the expense of you. Very, very important. So check out that article. And then I think we have one more article. Let me see. May not. No, I think that's it. Let me check. Make sure. Yep, that was what we posted today. Very, very important stuff that you should definitely be checking out and know. And critical, critical, critical. So with that being said, let me check to see if our guest is here and ready to go. Yep, our guest is here. Let me, 1 second. At any time, if you'd like to call in, we're going to have Tony Caligula that's going to be on, and he's going to be talking about his book. And his book is the New Ten, excuse me, the Black Ten Commandments is what Tony's book is all about. So we're going to, as soon as Tony, let me pull Tony up because I see he's there. Tony, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you. Welcome, brother, to Tando Radio Show and to all of our listeners. And we're going to introduce you, and then we're going to jump into the show, and you tell us about the. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the Black Ten Commandments and what it is that you have put together and why you've put it together. I think it's very worthy, and it's something that we should know about. And not only that, we should be engaging in, supporting, and actually take from this so that we can take the positive from this and to leverage ourselves in a way that will be beneficial not only to ourselves, our families, and our overall community. Now, Tony Caligula is the author of the Black Ten Commandments. And Tony, in talking to Tony, it took Tony 23 years to put this book completely together. So that's a very long time. That's almost, that's a quarter of a century. And this, you know, from that, just saying that, you know that there was a lot that this brother put into this, and I'm very, very eager and anxious to hear about the Black Ten Commandments. So now, just to give you a basis premise, and then I'm going to let Tony, ask Tony some questions and let Tony explain the book, why he wrote it and everything else and what it's about and what is it that he's trying to convey to you and what is it that he wants you to know. But Tony is teaching in this book, you'll learn some military tactics and procedures and principles. It also gives you some of the military warning orders, which, believe me, is going to be very necessary in the future. And I was talking to Tony about a week ago or so, and we were talking, and I realized that, yes, you know, we have some of the same background, and we came up with some of the same conclusions as to why you and I and our community really need to get prepared and really start to get moving in a direction that's going to benefit us so that we can seize on the opportunities, because there are things that are going to be adversely affecting us. And if you're not prepared, you will be scared. And when fear takes over, you become paralyzed to that fear. So also, just a little more about Tony. Tony is actually with the book. It's really about nation state building, which is very, very important. And it's, oops, 1 second. And then, so that's something that we talk about here. And I'm going to tell you, nation state building is so, so important, because the only way that we are going to be able to solve the adversities that are challenging to us is if we solve them ourselves. No one else can do it for you. It has to be done by us. It has to be done by you. And it first starts with you before it even starts with the community. And before it starts with your family, it has to start with you. So let's bring let's welcome Tony to Tando Radio Show. Brother Tony, welcome to Tando Radio Show. And I just want to thank you for taking 23 years to write this book and to bring it to our listeners and to the community, because I definitely feel that you did this for it was very benevolent reasons, and I think it's very critical that we have authors just as you doing these things. And if you would, brother, give us a little background. What prompted you to want to write the Black Ten Commandments, and what is it about, and what is it that you want to convey to the readers and to our community at large?
No problem. Thank you. I really appreciate everything you're saying. I just agree wholeheartedly with all the things you were talking about. I was listening to everything you were talking about there, and it hits home with what I'm talking about here. I mean, the book, it was initially, you know, it started out being just, I didn't know it was a calling. You know, I didn't know. I was just a dude just reading. Okay, so it turned out to be a calling. I started to realize that this is something that was bigger than me, you know? It was more than just my little personal education, a private education. And it's about evangelism. It's about breaking the cycle of urban poverty. It's about diffusing our growing racial tensions. It's about all these things. It's not just about one thing. There's many different things to hit on. There's a lot of information covered in here. A lot of stuff I had to learn and grow about. I didn't know majority of this information. You know, I had to learn this stuff. I had to grow. God had to bring me along. And most of the time, I didn't know what was going on. Comes with you. I found this quote, the quote I used for the book. I just stumbled on it. I didn't have the title for the book yet, and it's from Ozzie Davis from 1971. It's the first Congressional Black Caucus dinner. And this is what he said. This is the quote I have in the book. Give to us a plan of action. 10 Black Commandments, simple and strong, so that we can carry them in our hearts and in our memories, and feel the reassurance that there is behind everything we do a simple, moral, intelligent plan that must be fulfilled in the course of time. Even if all our leaders, one by one, fall in battle, someone will rise and say, our leader died when we were on page 3 of the plan. Now that the funeral is over, let us proceed to page 4. Ozzie Davis from the first Congressional Black Caucus Dinner, 1971. That's where I got the book title from. So,
wow!
This is kind of like a fulfillment of that.
Very true, very, very true. And you know, and it's for all of us. We all were born into this paradigm, but the most powerful thing that we have is how we're going to respond to it. We can create. We have to create the heaven that is waiting for our arrival. And so we can no longer give in to what we've been taught to do by ways of schooling and by ways of traditions and by way of surrenderance. You know, it's we were all born with the condition to be self-determining and to be sovereign. To give that up is you being self-determining and sovereign. Even if you're deceived, because at some point at some time, you come into the realization that, wow, my energy and my free will is the most powerful thing. Now, what am I going to do with it? And many of us have decided to build our heaven. So, Tony, so in starting the, why did it take 23 years? And I know why, and that's not a bad thing. And I'm glad that it took that process because as you really listen to this, and I was talking to Tony, and Tony's very passionate about what it is that he's done, you'll see that this is a journey that is going on, even though it may have so many pages in the book, but it's really about a coming of age process for one individual, for one family, and for one community. And that's very, very powerful. So Tony, tell us about the 23 years it took to actually complete the writing of it, that portion of it.
I understand, yeah. I mean, the main thing is that I was doing it part-time. It was more like a hobby, something on the side. I had a family, a full-time job, a military career. You know, I had to take care of my kids and look after my wife and care for her. I had all this stuff going on. This is something I had on the side. This is something I would get to do after I was done with my family, you know, maybe late at night, Very rarely I could do that. Usually on the weekends, I'd get up early before everyone else got up, and I'd work on it then. And it's not something that you can just will to happen. This is a process of inspiration, and it happens when it's ready to happen. That's another reason why it took so long, is that, A, I didn't have the information I needed. I was willing to be used by the Lord, but I didn't know what to do or what he wanted me to do. So God reveals things to us in piecemeal, gradually. He doesn't tell us everything all at one time, because he wouldn't be able to take it. We wouldn't understand it. He reveals things slowly and gradually. He brings us along slowly and in stages, and it's very, very gradual. So that's the way he works, and that's the way he worked with me. And the project evolved. I thought it was going to be one thing. Then it turned out to be this other thing. And then, like I said, near the end, I found this book title, and I had to rewrite the whole thing to fit that mold. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, and you know, that's pretty custom to writers, you know, especially if, you know, like you said, that you had your everyday obligations to maintain, and that shows the dedication for you to continue, even if you were just going to do it, you know, a couple of, even if you could only get three or four paragraphs, then you had to rewrite the paragraphs and everything else, and then you get writer's block and everything else. So I just want to, that's great, you know, and I just want to say that is a great example of you never give up. You continue to move in the direction that you need to move in, because this is who you are. So now, Tom, tell us about the Black Ten Commandments. What is the book about? What is it that you would convey? What is it that you learned while from the book? And what is it that you think that some readers would learn from the book? Why is it so important?
Well, the thing about it is that what you were talking about, how we got how the future is kind of uncertain in a lot of ways. You know, how I've got some things in the landscape that are not going to be very pleasant, and the direction the country's going in. And it's about all those things. It's about, there's a whole chapter on eschatology, that is the end times. And I'm not setting dates, I'm not trying to scare anybody. But, you know, the scriptures talk about these sorts of things, and that they must come to pass, that they're inevitable. So we cannot avert them. These things must happen. So the book is talking about how we can prepare for something that we know is going to happen. You don't just wait for it to happen. Noah didn't sit around and wait, didn't drown. I mean, he prepared. His family, they prepared. So we have much time now. I don't know how much time we have, but we have time to prepare and to get ready for the things that we expect to happen. Now, we can anticipate that. We know that at some point in time there's going to be an extended government shutdown. Okay? That's going to happen. It's going to happen again. It's going to be an extended one. That's inevitable. We don't know. We know these national disasters happen. That could knock us down for a while. And the problem with that is that, you know, the rule of three of survivalism. You know, this, you know, you got 3 minutes for air, and you know, 3 days. You know, it goes, the rule of three. So we can only go so long without water, food, and all the things that we take for granted now. So what happens when that is gone from us? You know, what do we do? And there's old saying, is that when white people catch a cold, black people catch pneumonia. So when it gets bad for whites, it's going to be two or three times worse for black folk.
That's Hold on one second, Tony. One sec. Just so, because some of our callers may not be familiar with that that term, the rule of three. The rule of three is you can only go 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food is what Tony was alluding to there. So go ahead, Tony. Go ahead.
But it was, like you said, you were talking about the process, and I started to say, well, I could just write the Ten Commandments, and it could be a real short book, really, really, you know, like as if I'm dictating to somebody, and who am I? No one knows me. I have no authority to do that. So I decided to say it would be more interesting for the reader and for me to explain how I came up with the Black Ten Commandments. That's why it got longer. I had to bring the reader along, trying to bring the reader along with me, so they can see the different type principles I used, that I borrowed from the military, for the military training, the military experience I have, such as the main thing I used, the military problem solving process. Okay, the 6 steps, and the first and most important step is to recognize and identify the problem. And That's one of the things that we have going on in the black community and in the world in general. You know, when I talk about the black community, that's my focus primarily. I care about all people, obviously. Okay, I don't have to keep, I don't say more about that. Exactly, you know what I'm saying? You know where I come from. But if we can't agree on the problem or the root cause of the problem, we can never agree on the solutions or the mission, strategy, courses of actions, steps. We can't agree on any of that. So the problem is crucial. And we have many different views on what the problem is. And we don't even know how to get to the root cause of the problem. We don't know there is such thing as a root cause problem process. So I had to start with all that. You start with the basics and you build from there. And I couldn't just do a little quick, easy job of this. I didn't want to insult the reader like that way. You know,
right.
I had to take my time. This is really, really important stuff. It means the world to me. And it's actually two books in one. Actually, it's it's literally two books. Book one is problems, and book two is unilateral solutions. I actually call them books, book one and book two. So that's why it's two in one. That's why it's so long. The first book is 169 pages. The second book is 335 pages. 66% of the book is solutions. 66% of it. So I didn't want to spend too much time on the problems because we know the problems. We've heard about them. We know them by heart. But I want to spend more time on solutions because that's the fun part, you know? Once you get
right.
Free, once you're free and you realize you don't have to wait on somebody and you can unilaterally come up with these solutions, you can implement them anytime you want, that frees you up. See? And the problem with everything we've tried, and I have there's a point where we, in the Army, you know, we have the after-action review. All military services have that. They call it different things. It's where after a training event, you sit down and you sit everybody down and say, all right, give me three ups and three downs. Three things that we did right that we need to keep doing, and three things that we did wrong and we need to get rid of. I did that with the entirety of African American history, an after action review. No? I took a military principle and applied it to African American history. And it was wild what I came up with. It was really interesting, you know? I was able to put things in a nutshell, and when you do that, you can understand things from a different perspective. You realize that, you know, I have a chart in there where I list all the different strategies. You know, we tried migration, we tried infiltration, which is integration, we tried evacuation, you know, back to Africa. We tried all these different things, and I explained why they didn't work. They all have one thing in common, and they all were bilateral. They all were hinged upon a white response. The whites responded to us in some way. That's why they all failed, because they're not interested in helping us. And I'm not saying they're bad people.
No, you don't have...
I'm not saying white people are bad people.
Right. No, you don't have... You don't ever have to, you know, preference that. We know exactly, because the problem is so deep, and we definitely, you're absolutely right. There's reason why they were meant to fail, so that we would stay in the continuous state that we already were in. Hold on, Tony, one second. If you'd like to call in at any time, you have any questions or comments for Tony, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-910-9025, 510-866-510-9025, then hit star, we'll see you in queue and we'll bring you up. Because Tony said a bunch of great, great things, and I spent some time talking to Tony before, and so this brother is really passionate about what he is. And I'm going to tell you, we come in all shapes, sizes, you know, shades and abilities, talents. And the most important thing about this whole thing is that we have to realize that our talents is something that we should be using as a collective, collective prudence to get us where we have decided is the solution for us all. So, so important. So, very, very important. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and hit star. You know, Tony, one of the things that I want to, a couple of questions I want to ask you is that when you talked about the government shutdown, Why is that so important, and why should our community really care about that? In your opinion, why did you see that as a very credible threat? Now, and I would also ask you, is this something that is organic, or is it something that's manufactured, in your opinion?
Well, I just stumbled on a book called Atlas Shrugged. I never heard anything about it before. They claim that that is some sort of conspiracy theory, and that the book Atlas Shrugged talks about how all the industrials of the world who employ us, you know, how they're going to get together and say, you know what, let's shut it down, let's retire, let's go away, we have the resources, we can live under our own care, we don't have to worry about them anymore, and let them fend for themselves. So imagine not having a job to go to tomorrow. So that's what that book's about. So there are people who feel that it's going to be orchestrated. I don't know, I'm not that smart, I don't know. I know that these sorts of things I don't think anything happens by chance. I think that that ultimately there could be a cabal somewhere that has a hand in these sorts of things. It seems as though there's some intelligence behind it, and it's not just a mistake or something. So yeah, I think it's very possible that, you know, it could be orchestrated, it could be directed. I just have no proof of it, obviously. But either way, why it's so important is that it's going to touch all of us. It's going to touch all of our lives. Because when the government goes down, it affects everybody. We can look back to the government shutdown from last time. I was in the Warrior Transition Unit Program. I was recovering from surgeries and stuff. Or about to go into them. This is back in August 2013. They didn't have the money to ship me from one location to another. I was stuck on base. You know, it completely shut me down, them not being able to get together and put their heads together. It disrupts the flow of things. It disrupts services. Services can't be delivered. And we know that, as I want to get into more later on, I feel that we're configured in such a way that, you know, you got the high income, middle income, low income members of the Black community, you know. So I think that this is going to affect the majority of us, because the majority of us, we tend to be in the kind of struggling, you know, low income. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of that in the Black community. And I talked about that in the book. People always want to point fingers and talk about you Blacks this, you Blacks that. And, you know, you can't lump us all together, you know. We're all, not all doing the same thing. Some of us are struggling, and some of us doing better than others. But one thing's for sure is that when this hits us, it's going to affect Black people more heavily, because we are at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. We have more poor people per capita than pretty much any other ethnic group. And when people talk about we're more criminal and these type of things and want to make it racial, it's not. It's just that, you know, a lot of people who don't have necessary resources, a lot of times they get caught up in crime, and that's why we have a high percentage of crime, because we have a high percentage of poverty. So this is why it's going to affect us. We don't have the resources to survive an extended government shutdown. A lot of us don't. No, a lot of us do. A lot of us are, a lot of people in the Black community are rich. A lot of them have businesses and they got different resources. But the majority of us in the Black community, statistically speaking, do not have the resources to survive the rule of three. So that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and you know, right, because the you know, and the thing that we, in my opinion, that we really need to look at is that a lot of times the things of the past that's worked so well to subjugate and enslave people and to keep them where they provide for other people at their own expense, there's a system, there's a nomenclature to that all, and poverty is one of the roots of one of the keystones in that whole foundation. And you're absolutely right. Now, when you talk about Tony, that a lot of us, you know, don't have, won't be able to survive or will be more adversely affected by the government shutdown. I agree with you. And would you say that it's something that we all should start to prepare for it? Because when you say the government shutdown, what's some of the services or what's some of the things that economically that would affect, even if you are someone of mean, even if you're a so-called millionaire, you will be adversely affected by the government shutdown. So in your opinion, how will that affect our community? And what is it that our community should start doing to position themselves so that they won't be as adversely affected, but to seize on the opportunities that will come in that type of an environment?
No problem. The simplest answer to that is logistics. In the military, we call it sometimes a supply chain. When the government pays for shipping and receiving, and oil is shipped around, all of our goods and services that we enjoy shipped around on trains and everything. Well, stores won't be stocked. We won't have fuel. We're not going to have food in the grocery stores. It's going to disrupt everybody's lives. All the things we take for granted, they're going to be disrupted for an extended period of time. That's how it's going to affect everybody. Now, again, if you have resources, for example, a lot of people live in the suburbs, a lot of white people, they hunt and they fish. Okay? They can supply themselves with meat and freezer and everything. They have a cold freezer on the ground. They know how to do these sorts of things. A lot of these skill sets we lost when we migrated from the South as a people. We're primarily an urban people now. So, and there's no places where we're going to hunt for animals in the urban inner city. You know, we don't have these options available to us. And so some of the things we can start doing is we can start stocking up on food. Meals ready to eat, MREs. They're very nutritious. They can last forever. That's what we eat in the military. It's good enough for us. It's good enough for everybody. You can start bagging boxes of those. They got all kinds of companies online that sell dehydrated food, and these sorts of things you can buy and stock up on. They have what they call bug out bags, a bag that's filled with all the necessities, first aid kit, crank lights, you know, water purifier, water filters, you know, all these sorts of things in that one bag to where you grab it and go if you need to get out of a bad situation. You don't have to think about it. So you can start making these type of preparations, a simple thing like stocking up on food in boxes, MREs, and you can come up with ways to start storing up water. You can develop ways to catch water catchment. You know, I'm going to get into that real seriously this year. My objective is to get off the grid, to get completely off the grid. There's a town in Kansas called Greensburg, Kansas. That city was obliterated almost by these tornadoes. There's a lot of tornadic activity in that area. And they were pretty much wiped out. So what they decided to do is they rebuilt their town.
Hold on, Tony. Tony, 1 second. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Hold on to that. We'll come back. When we come back, tell us what happened in that town in Kansas from the tornadoes and how that should be emulated by others and looked at as some viable solutions to what's going to be coming, because I definitely see it and know that it is coming and it has already started to unfold. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We have our guest, Tony Caligula, the author of the Black Ten Commandments. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, and if you have any questions. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, we have with us the author of The Black Ten Commandments, is Tony Caligula. Give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Just hit **, so that you can make yourself known. We'll see you in queue and have your question or comment for Tony about the Black Ten Commandments. So just before we were going to a break, Tony, you were talking about how in Kansas, because of the tornado alley that they're in, because of the inclement weather that they deal with regularly, that there was a town that was actually obliterated by a tornado, and you were going in, I think you were going in to explain what were some of the choices that they had to do because of the conditions that they were in. So if you would just pick back up from there, Tony.
No problem. Yeah, Greensburg, Kansas. I was in the guard actually at the time, and we went to their city and helped them clean up. It was really sad. You know, most of them lost everything. So one thing they did is they went to wind energy turbines. Their lights are solar powered. No, they everything pretty much is run by solar power. They have they're basically off the grid. The whole city is. It's really amazing. It's like nothing else. I don't think in America really. It's a model city of the future. They are sustainable. They're completely sustainable. That's, I mean, they got grass on top of on the roofs. You know, they're using like we talk about earth homes. An earth home is something that's cool in the summer, you know, and in the wintertime, it's also at an even temperature as well. You learn to use the land more. You live off the land more. And they're really in a good situation now, and they're very much sustainable. And it's really impressive, actually. I haven't had a chance to get down there lately, but I want to take they're so far away from me, where I live at. And I want to go there and really examine them and study them, because I intend to build something. I don't have the money to do it now, obviously, but I want to build something similar to that on a smaller scale, obviously, because my plan is to be prepared to help others. I'm not interested in just, because, you know, Tony's going to be fine one way or another. God will take care of me. And I believe he blesses us to bless others. So I want to be prepared to help other people when those dark times come.
And I think that's very, very important, Tony, and I totally agree. And especially those that are willing to not only help themselves, but have that same, they resonate the same, where they also want to help as many people as they possibly can, because there's a collective prudence that we have to take in our community in order for us. We have to come up with all of the solutions for what we're facing collectively. Now we become individually more powerful because of the great talents that we have that can be used to utilize a successful response that will put us back into a position of advantage. So true. And as you, I too, this is Tando Radio Show. And just so you know, we started Tando Radio Show because what I wanted to do is I wanted to get people prepared for some of the things that are coming and to see some of the events. And they're not coincidental that they're happening. They're happening by choice and on demand, because there is a agenda that has to be maintained in order to have people that are going to be subjugated to you. So it is, you know, necessary, and I thought it was necessary that we have a preparedness show, and that's what Tando is about. What we do is we talk about some of the events that's going on in the world that should be on our radar, so that we could properly respond to it. And everyone's condition is different, because everyone's, you know, in different parts of the country. And so that's what we did with you coming with Tando Radio Show, just so you know. So I'm fully on board with getting off of the grid, and there's a way in which to do it. But even if you don't have the necessary immediate resources to get off the grid, you can start small. Just because preparing is really first starts with your mindset, that you realize that there are some things happening that I need to make ready for as much as I possibly can. And that's, you know, you don't wait for the tornado to hit before you try to prepare for it. You don't wait for the hurricane to hit. You don't wait for the earthquake to start shaking before you respond to it. An appropriate person and a reasonable person responds when the sun is shining and everything is so-called fine and stable. That's the time that you prepare. So very, very true. We do need to develop more self-sustaining communities, especially among ourselves. But in our self-sustaining community not only should be something that's tangible, it has to be something that's a living practice, meaning yes, we need solar and water purification, and we need to be able to have the appropriate aquaponics and being able to farm in the most effective and efficient way. But the thing that we really need the most is the collective prudence, where we realize that I can't get through this by myself, even though, as you said, you're going to be fine. But just by you and I just being fine is not what really matters. That's a selfish intent. It's when we're in a better position. It's so, so important. So, Tony, just with the book, The Black Ten Commandments, and anyone, if you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. So now, when you look at one of the things that you had said, that was that, and you know, there are other communities that are more self-reliant because of where they live, because of their, you know, general geographical area, you know, so they can actually, they understand how to hunt. They understand the art of hunting. They understand the art of dressing a kill and everything else. And I think it's very, very true that from us living in, you know, there's a large proportion of us that do live in the cities or in the suburbs of the city, but there are many of us that live in the country as well. But those of us that do live in the cities and in the suburbs, we have to master our environment. And there are things that we should be doing and finding out what is in our best interest to do to master that environment, just in case the lights go out by way of natural disaster or by way of, you know, a man-made event. And so from living in the cities, what are some of the things that you think are appropriate for people to be looking at, are things that they should be doing that will help prepare them for the unforeseen or for what we know is coming, it just hasn't arrived yet?
Well, I like what you said initially was the mindset. You know, the understanding that such a thing is possible and highly likely. That's the key. That's the first thing. If you don't take this stuff serious, you're not going to be focused on it. You're not going to work towards it. That's, like I said, the mindset is the most important thing. So let's say someone buys in with this, and they want to figure out what they can do to make preparations. You know, you got to think about what's the rule of three. What's some things you're going to need? Water. You know, I was watching that show on TV. It's about urban. It's preppers. It's called Preppers. And on National Geographic, I enjoyed it quite a bit. And they talked about simple things like, and this might sound gross, but in the event you don't have access to water, maybe you didn't stock up on water. They said there's water in the toilet on the top part.
That's in the reserve, yeah.
Yeah, that's
in the tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of I never thought about that. I was like, that's when I started taking the show more seriously. I was like, you know, they're putting out some good information here. I've never conceded such a thing. He pulled it out. He said, look at this. That's perfectly fine for you right there. It's sitting right there. You have access to it. I was like, wow. And running the scenario, what would you do? The main thing, I mean, we all can't get out of the city. You know, I was in Kansas City working a job there a little while back, and you know, I'm retired now. But I noticed how when it came time to go home, how it was almost impossible to get out of that city in a hurry. Traffic. Everybody's trying to get on the same highway all at the same time. Imagine that in a crisis situation. You know, it'd be almost impossible to get out of the city. So that option, might as well just scratch that one. You know, so got to figure out, what can I do? I got some water. Maybe I got some water stored up. Great. You should have some canned goods. Plenty of canned goods. Just every now and then we get some extra money, stock up on some canned goods, store them away. It's important not to brag and boast about what you're doing and what you got. That will invite. No, I mean, we're not talking about being stingy. We're talking about not putting a target on your back. You know,
right?
You don't
want unwanted attention.
Exactly. Like these people going to the show, this national TV show, Preppers. Somebody's gonna remember. A lot of these people are really stocked up. I mean, they got semis backing up to their house. They got, you know what I'm saying. They've got a lot of stuff in there, and somebody somewhere is gonna remember that. They're gonna come a knocking, and so you wanna keep it on a low profile. Like one guy suggested, if you're gonna buy in bulk, and you should buy in bulk when you can, obviously. If you're gonna do such a thing, have it delivered at night. You know, try to keep things on the down low, and don't broadcast your business.
Yeah. You know, so stay discreet.
Exactly, because all this is gonna get you probably mugged. You know. All right. So you wanna make sure you got your stuff tucked away. You wanna have it hidden, obviously. You don't want it to be out in the open. They walk in the house and there it is. You wanna have a way towards maybe I don't know, dig something on the ground in a shed that's tucked away in the back of your yard or something. Have it tucked away to where it's difficult to locate. You know, that somebody would have to put forth a lot of effort to locate it, to discover it. So that's important. Otherwise, it does no good to stock up. So you want to have all these things, you know, dehydrated foods and dehydrated milk and all that good stuff. But also, because my plan is all about different phases. Basically, the first phase would be food storage, and then at some point in time, food production, because you want to leave the food storage as long as you can.
Exactly.
You don't want to break in that right away. That's like last ditch. You know, things are getting rough. I can't get out there. I can't do anything. This type of situation. So the food storage, that's like emergency situations. But food production is what you really want to focus on. And so we're talking about gardening. You talked about some hydroponics. They got all kinds of things out there now it's really, really interesting. Things you can do. I'm gonna learn more about that, get smarter on that. And the types of things they call them heirloom seeds.
Yep.
You can get those. I'm sorry.
No, I was agreeing. Yeah, that's a must.
Gotcha, those, yeah.
Heirlooms are definitely also not, they're known as non-hybrid scenes. Those are a absolute must. You're absolutely right, Tony, because you know one of the things which you said about once you go into your stored food, your clock is running until you no longer have any.
Precisely.
So you definitely want to strategically position all of your resources, and because everyone is condition is different. These are just some of the fundamental things, but you know, because the topography in Southern California is different than it is in North Carolina, in the Appalachians of North Carolina. So the dynamics are vast. You have to know where you are and what you're doing. So Tony, with your book, how would the Black Ten Commandments, how would that help our people or the reader with developing some strategical operational tactics to different situations that they may come across?
Well, the whole objective, because I start out, bits and pieces, and I try to build a good foundation, and I try to bring the reader along with the ultimate goal of making them independent. I call it the economic independence movement. That's what I want to promote. So you want to get to the point to where you're making unilateral decisions as a people, that you have a nation state that can sustain itself. And this is all wonderful, but it's all going to take a change of thinking. We're not there yet, because we can't even agree on what the problem is. You know, I want to do a shout out to Mr. Scotty Reed. You know, I don't know much about this. I'm learning about it. And from what I'm learning, that he's really done something really impressive here. He's pulled together a lot of different shows and networked them together. That's no small feat. So I'm going to give him a tip of the hat there. And this is the type of things we got to do.
His nation building.
Exactly. Pulling together. And now I want to speak on some things like, I think one key way to achieve unity, which is important for the overall survival of the nation, unity of thinking, is to get on the same sheet of music, okay? Is to understand that we got to coordinate our efforts. Now, we got many different things going on, a lot of good things. I'll talk about some lot of great things, like the Harlem Children's Zone by Mr. Kennedy, okay? I know there's a lot of great things going on, okay, but it's in little bits and pieces, and we're not coordinated right now. So we got to get all that coordinated like we do in the military. We coordinate all our units to where we all have a united front, and that's not easily done. You know, there's a way about it, there's a way to go about doing it, and that has to happen, because we have a lot of resources. You know, there's this organization called the Target Market News. Target Market News. They, according to them, they're African Americans. According to them, we as a nation, African Americans, we spend about $1 trillion annually of our disposable income. You know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I didn't know that before. When I started, this type of stuff I was learning, I didn't know. There's a lot I didn't know. A lot of statistics I didn't know. I was ignorant of. I had to educate myself about these things. So that type of stuff. We have a lot of monetary resources that just need to be redirected. Our liberation, we're sitting right on it. That money is going out of our community, one directional. It's not flowing through the community. I read an article where they said that, you know, the average dollar in the black community is hours, not days. It's gone.
Very true. You got a couple of callers, Tony. If you would take a couple of these callers. We got a caller. A question from Scotty. Scotty has a question. Scotty, if you can unmute.
No.
Okay, you're unmuted.
Yeah,
unmuted. Go ahead,
yeah.
Scotty. What's your question or comment for Tony?
Yeah, I have a comment, and thank you for the acknowledgement, Tony. But one thing you just mentioned is coordinating, like the military. You, myself, and Dave have been in the military. And so in terms of my background in the military was communications, and it's serving me well in setting up this network. But you talked about something very important. Black Talk Radio Network is great. We're the number one independent, and I stress the word independent, black digital radio and podcasting platform. That's great. That's wonderful. But guess what? We have to have a base of communications in every community that we have a presence. They should be in control or producing independent black media that's local to their area. You're
right.
Supposed to use
Amen.
Communications to organize. Isn't that what we used it for in the military?
Exactly.
So that I just wanted to add that comment. Thank you.
Very welcome. Thank you.
And you know, yeah. Let me just, you know, because that's so important, because all of everything that we're going to be facing and everything that we're facing is really coming from diverse different ways, but there should be a unified response that we all have to it, and that will establish the unity that we have to respond to everything. And I didn't want to step on you there, Tony, so go ahead, bro.
We got
two more callers when you're ready to take those callers, Tony.
I'm ready. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We got a caller out of area code 786 in Florida. If you're there, caller, if you could just state your name and what is your question or comment for Tony Caligula, the author of the Black Ten Commandments. Florida? MIA?
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, I'm not MIA. I can hear you.
No, MIA is Miami. That's what it came up as. Sharif, what's going on, my brother?
Peace, brother. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead with your question or comment for Tony.
Well, my question is like, you know, I just want to make a comment in the question because I think that there is a lack of financial education in the community. So when you're looking to say, you know, the dollar's not in the community, you know, me and David have a good relationship with certain aspects. And so, you know, I deal in trust, you know, so we're able to maintain and capture wealth because we have entity and knowledge that the average individual walking around doesn't have. And that gap is an educational gap, not just an action gap. I agree with action. Action's good, but you could be doing the wrong thing and expect to get good results, and it's never going to happen. For example, I was just looking at some information about Prince, and Prince estate, he doesn't even have a will. So we could make as much money as we want and talk about trying to keep the dollar in the community. This brother is about to have $100 million given to the government off intestate because he died intestate, and his shit's going to go to probate because of lack of knowledge. It's not because he wasn't smart and know how to make money. He just didn't know how to maintain it and preserve it and pass it on. So my question to you is understanding and knowing that is the case for us, not just the fact that we might not be working together in unison together and unified. I agree with that. But there are some of us that make it financially, and they're not able to pass on that wealth that $100 million should not go to any other culture, but that $100 million in tax money alone. And they say Michael Jackson's estate is in intestate for $700 million. So what I'm saying to you is what are your thoughts on knowing that there is a knowledge gap? Because clearly they've shown that they didn't have the knowledge on how to pass it on, like the Rockefellers, like the Kennedys, like the Mellons, like the Carnegies, because they understand just trust knowledge alone and foundation and trust knowledge alone, they're able to pass on wealth. One more statement too, such as the individual with Bill Gates. Bill Gates does not own his stocks from Microsoft anymore. His charity, his foundation does. So because he has knowledge, he's not paying taxes on billions of dollars that he's making right now. And he's a billionaire. So I understand that we need action in our community, no doubt about it. We need unification in our community, no doubt about it. But if there's information specific, such as trust and foundations, if that information is not disseminated, we will continue to see the rise and fall of what are considered to be giants in our community. Because people say you're a giant because you make a lot of money, such as Prince and Michael Jackson. But their estates, they're not passing on wealth. And we've been working in this country for four generations, five generations. We've been working. Our people are workers. But they haven't been able to pass on wealth because of a knowledge base that they're lacking. I mean, they barely knew English. So how are they going to be able to pass on wealth? The first book they were taught was to read the Bible. They weren't taught to read a business law book or a tax book. So I would just like to hear your thoughts on the knowledge gap for our people, not just the action gap.
Well, you made very good points there, and I agree with you 100%. And I know it sounded like we were just talking about action only, but the book doesn't just talk about action. The book primarily talks about a change of thinking. That is the thesis, is can low-income Black America really improve their standard of living by attaining a higher standard of thinking? But it deals with the knowledge gap. Second chapter talks about it, actually. And it talks about, I just can't go into stuff. I don't have education or background in finance. I'm not Dr. Boyce Watkins. okay? He's extremely brilliant in that area, and I'm not, and that's okay. But I know the basics. I know what will work for me. So okay, in the book, I give out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, excuse me. For example, okay, I agree with you, brother, in some respects. But voice walkers, you say I don't have a degree in finance. Okay, well, guess what? Carnegie didn't have a degree. Mm-hmm. Neither did Rockefeller. So it ain't about whether you got a degree or not. We can talk to them, but we need to come with what's going to work. So, for example, Bruce Watkins says own a company. I don't teach that to our people, young brothers. I don't say own a company. It's own nothing, control everything. If you own something, you're liable. That's not rocket science. That's the facts. So when we're talking
you know,
to our
hey,
people...
Sharif. Hey, Sharif, you know, and you're absolutely right because, you know, this is what we do, you and I in the, you know, our circle. And I think in what you're saying is so point on is this is the education that we have to give that's incumbent upon us. You know, I think that there are specialties in everything. You have a specialty in that field, if you know what I mean. And I have a specialty in another field, and Tony has one in another. And I think what's really pointed in where the synergy is here is for everyone that's listening is what Sharif is really saying is that you know, Sharif, I posted an article inside of Tando about a mall that was sold for $1. And I was hoping you saw it because it was a part of a trust, and I knew that you would pick up on it because of what. But see, this is the thing that is incumbent upon us, you with your expertise and what you do, Sharif, Tony and what he does, and I think that we should never ever, and I'm not saying that's what you're doing, we should never ever take someone out of their field of ability, talents, and expertise and expect them to be here. I think what really has to happen is that in collective prudence is that all these talents start to migrate and merge together. Now you have a more fulfilling fulfilling chance and opportunity to produce the outcomes that you want. Because you're absolutely right, Sharif. They didn't have degrees, but what they had was they didn't have schooling. They had an education. And you have an education. And I think it's very, very important that our people get a real education about some of the economic fundamentals. And I won't say there was a person's name that was said that I would not follow their financial advice at all, because what they're speaking about is what they've been schooled. And they don't even know the hindrance of that. So I think it's a matter of where we have to present the information, and for those that are willing to learn and to engage in that, let's take those individuals and to educate them and give them the tools that are necessary to actually control everything and own nothing. So that was just, you know, what I wanted to, because I don't think that Tony is that's where his field of expertise is, but that is your field of expertise. And this is where it's very important for those of us that do know, for us to say, hey, guys, there are some things that you don't know that you may want to need to know. Now it's incumbent upon those individuals if they want to do it or not. And for those that do, that's who we can resonate with. So I just wanted to make that because I you know, just to be fair to all, and I'm not saying that anyone is not being fair, but just to put it to, because there are some things that Sharif does that I don't do, and I would go to Sharif for that. There are some things that I do that Sharif may not know and do, or Tony or everyone that's listening may not, but I do it. And see, once there becomes an alliance and a dependency on each other, now all of our talents become one. And you're absolutely right, Sharif. We have giants acting as ants.
Amen. Amen on that. And I wasn't trying to endorse anyone. That's the name I could think of to throw out there.
And, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hold on 1 second, Brother David.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. Yeah, we got to get ready to go to a break. Listen, Sharif, hold on.
Brother Davis, hold on. We're going to come to you, Tony. Hold on. We got to go for our last break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Sharif, hold on, because I want you to come back, because it's very, very important. There's some things that we need to talk about, and I was starting to talk about it in the overall beginning of the show. Very, very crucial and critical. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025. And we're talking to Tony Caligula, of the author of The Black Ten Commandments. We'd love to hear from you all. You know, and my man Sharif was saying, and it was so true, and Brother Davis, I'm going to, we lost Brother Davis. Oh, no, there he is. Okay, Brother Davis, we want to go to you in 1 second. And my man Sharif is so true and so right. You know, we've had economic giants such as, iconic giants such as Prince and Michael Jackson, but what happens in our community is that our economically we become neutered, so that we're not able to produce and maintain, and that's very, very important that we do understand that and get to that. So, Sharif, if you're there, hold on real quick. I want to go to Brother Davis so that he can make his question a comment. Then I want to come back and close out with what you were talking about, because we have to get on board with this, and there are some opportunities for all of you to actually learn some of the things that Sharif was talking about, and it's critical if you can. And if you think that it's right for you, then you definitely would want to do that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So just let's go to this next caller from Brother Davis. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show, my brother. What's your question or comment for Tony, the author of the Black Ten Commandments?
Oh, man, listen, brother, first of all, man, I think it's time that somebody at least come up with an idea that they can present to people, because they always talk about black people have an agenda and they don't present one. You're at least presenting an agenda. I would also add to this, Google H2OPE, because if you're going to get together with groups, you're going to correlate your resources, this may be something that will fit right into that idea. And another thing that I've always said was, don't wait to the last minute. Get yourself a shortwave radio so that if everything goes off, you can still be connected. I also wanted to add to the brother who called about Prince and Michael. Listen, we cannot be naive to think that people who can unmask millions of dollars in their area of specialty are not intelligent enough to put things in place to be sure that their family can benefit by their work. See, we live in a system that is designed to literally emancipate us black people from our dollars on a number of different levels. And understand this, those two men didn't die by natural causes. So there had to be an element that we're overlooking. So why wouldn't that same element deceive us to believe that they were not prepared for this? So there's a lot of things going on. Let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the fact that if we're going to move forward and build from here, we need to put the tools in place that will serve us as groups. We like to at least get stuff to serve yourself, but if you get stuff to serve as a group, there'll be a more greater opportunity for people to put in, and you can get the best for your investment. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring up that H2OPP unit. That is actually right up the alley that the brother who wrote the book is talking about. It's man. I'm out.
All right, Brother Davis. Great, great. Well said. Thank you all. So, Tony, and then let me see. Is Brother Sharif still there? Hope we didn't lose.
Yeah, I'm Sharif. Here. I mean, right. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening to the bro's response to his thought. I want to hear his thoughts because if their money wasn't in paper, it could have been in gold and silver. The stuff that David talks about. David says you can't own gold. You can only control it. I'm just pointing out that David said something to me one time. He said, you got to make yourself economically relevant. If you ain't got no gold and silver, you're a nobody. I don't care what you say. It sounds good. There's a limited amount of gold and silver. And you could take that piece of gold and silver anywhere in the world and live somewhere. So when people say, oh, what should we do as a people? That's kind of off. We have to update our information to things that are going to make us economically relevant. And what David is talking about is that. I'm not talking about your information as far as the Ten Commandments saying that's not right. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, okay, can we look at it from additional perspectives such as understanding we have to own nothing, control everything? Can we use these type of mindsets to maneuver? Because if we think it's a race game, money is green. We're all getting it. I don't want to hear that, oh, well, it was a conspiracy against these brothers. There's a lot of people that die that don't pass on wealth. They Caucasian too. So it's not about whether they got illly determined. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how you pass on wealth. And if we just want to go out and work hard like they did and amass $100 million and lose it, keep doing what y'all doing. But my family, we won't. And I'm willing to share that information and deal with people on that level because it takes community and private communities to disseminate that information. We have to understand we've been given a public school education by the Rockefellers, all of us. But we sitting over here acting like, oh, man, we just got to take what the next man said. I don't care what the next man's doing with his family. It's about what my family's going to do. And I can objectively, as a young person, look at those other families and say, wow, Prince was pretty wealthy, but he about to lose a lot of it because of him not even having a will in place. And we talking about making money. That's what I'm saying.
If I may, I think what you're talking about. You're talking about the basic principles. And what I was getting at is that I wanted to give a little disclaimer that I'm not trained in that area. I'm not a subject matter expert on finances, and I threw a name out there. I was not endorsing this individual. My point is that in my book, I talk about basic principles, basic fundamentals about what you're talking about. Okay, taking control of your money, watching your money, making sure your money is going to be you can bequeath it to your heirs. These sorts of things. I talk about that. I can only talk about the basics, the fundamentals. And that, unfortunately, a lot of us are not following those basics and those fundamentals. We don't know them. So I talk about them. I do deal with them. Stuff like simple things like we don't amass and bequeath wealth. Okay? We don't do that. And that's one of the ways you cannot get any kind of traction, intergenerational traction from one generation to another, is if you don't amass and bequeath it and put it in some kind of structure to where it can be passed on. Okay, so that's one thing I talk about. Another thing is simple priorities. You know, a lot of this is a guy called Robert Kiyosaki. He's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. His brother, he boiled it down to one thing. He said, I had a rich father who wasn't his biological father, but I had a father also worked his life, worked a job. He ended up with nothing. And he says, there's got to be a better way. His rich dad explained to him how the rich people do it and how they amass and bequeath wealth. I'll talk about these sorts of things, okay? And it's mainly about the attitude, because what they say is, or everybody tells me, is that poor people have poor ways, meaning they have habits that ensure they will never amass any kind of wealth. So I talk about changing the thinking on these type of things, changing up and looking at things differently on how you handle your money, how you spend your money, what you buy with your money. Okay, it's all about priorities. And a lot of times, and I know because I came from the welfare class, okay? I didn't have no money. My grandmother raised me, okay? So I know around me, my relatives, they're all doing the same thing, man. They're wasting their money. They're focused on the wrong things. It's on wants instead of needs. They don't put no money up. They don't save any money. It's called credit invisibility. And then they wonder why they don't have anything to show for it. Why they can't make any kind of traction from one generation to another. I deal with those basic fundamentals about the book, mainly in chapter 2. And I talk about that throughout the book. I build on foundations and the fundamentals, and I move on because ultimately I'm saying is that if we want to build a nation up, we got to get the fundamentals down. And if we want to solve problems in our community, we cannot do it bilaterally. We cannot rely on anybody outside the community because they don't have our best interests at heart. Can't wait on them anymore. We out of time. We got to move up. We got to move forward. So any solutions, the 66% of the solutions I come up with in the book, they're all unilateral. They can be done immediately. We don't have to march. We don't have to protest. We can do them as soon as you read the book and go out and do it, these solutions. You can implement them immediately. There's no government.
Yeah, you know, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No. Go ahead now. Go ahead. Finish what you were saying because I thought you were done. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. Yeah. Is that the important thing is that we have to, as a nation state, I want us to be one day, is that we have to come to the understanding is that, and this may not sit well with you, but ultimately there's this thing called white supremacy. It was written into the Constitution, and I explained how they never intended for us to be part of the society. They, meaning the Founding Fathers. Thomas Jefferson, I recommend you go read Notes on the State of Virginia. You wonder where Dylan Roof got his beliefs from. He got them from Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was a vehement racist. He talked about race wars. He talked about eradicating us. This is the so-called Founding Father of the Constitution. The Declaration. So this is where this idea comes from. You talk about how the shield of America and how it's a racist, white supremacist image with the white stripes representing the original European nations that founded America. They're red like blood. And then the white stripes representing purity. You know? Two and two. It was always supposed to be for whites by whites. Okay, the Bill of Rights came along. We still weren't even part of this nation. It wasn't until 1868, 14th Amendment, where we became citizens of this country. But that's why when people talk about suing for reparations, hey, Dred Scott tried that already in 1857. They told him, he says, looky here. The Supreme Court told him this. He said, a black man's got no rights that a white man is bound to respect. We have to understand that we are on our own. And if we want equality, if we want anything in this country, we're going to have to do it by ourselves. And the fact that we keep waiting on somebody and expecting people and trying to coerce the ruling class to help us and assist us and to grant it to us, it's never going to happen. It's not in their best interests. Because black equality diminishes white supremacy and white privilege. They're not interested in it. That's the second commandment. You may run through some of these commandments. That's the second.
We got 2 minutes, Tony. Then we got to close out. No. Perfect. Well said. And you know what I want to add is that you know what we're talking about, and I love this. You know because we need to have these dialogues, and I would say, Tony, Brother Davis, and Sharif, who called, are saying that they have the same objectives in different methods, and it's perfectly fine. But I think what's really, really important is that we have to take the best case practices from those that have the expertise that say, hey, I've been doing this. This is what works. You never go to if you have a congestive heart condition. You have, you know, you don't go see a mechanic. Okay? You don't go. So what I'm saying is that we all have great expertise and our talents are everywhere. What I really want to say is in closing out here is this, and because Sharif is still on the line, is very, very important. It's critical, and Tony had talked about something. What he said about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and Jefferson and everything else was absolutely right. But I would add this, is that the actual Constitution wasn't written not even for white people. That's a misnomer, that it was written for—it wasn't. It was written, the Constitution was never written for any citizen. It was never written for any system. It is a declaration of enslavement of everyone that the system can use. It was written for those that controlled resources and those that didn't.
I can give it that.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's what it was. So what am I saying is that there are some economic fundamentals that Sharif was talking about. And we're going to offer you an opportunity to engage with some real experts on that matter here on Tando Radio Show. Yes, Sharif was absolutely right what he said about Gates. There are things that you could be doing. See, there are things that work, and they are being hidden behind different measures of manipulation and best way to put it is there are things that are hidden from you, and there are things also that are not taught to you, and that's done so that you will just follow what is taught to everyone. And if we only continue to use what's been taught to us, we will remain in the same condition and position that we're in. We're going to have to jointly and collectively think anew. You can't solve a problem with the same consciousness, using the same consciousness that created the problem. You're going to have to think anew. So what we're saying is that there's going to be opportunities for you, the Tando listeners, to engage and find out some things that you should be knowing that would be in your best interest. And some of the things that Sharif was talking about was foundations and how to protect yourself so that your prosperity continues, so that the Constitution that they wrote actually aids and offers you opportunity. Now, what you do with that opportunity is up to you. If you choose to exploit other individuals and other people with it, that's your choice. But it's also things that you could do to protect yourself outside of that. And one of the things that I always say is that I always go back to the ecosystem, the economy of the ecosystem. I always first start with God's money. Then I try to find out what all of the laws and the rules are and who they're written for and why that's so important. Because sometimes the key to laws is that you have to know the laws so that you can legally break them. Very, very important. So everyone that's spoken today, man, well said, very, very true. Sharif dropped the bomb. Brother Davis, as always, dropped the bomb. Tony, brother, thank you for coming on. We're going to have you back, bro, because it's so much more to this that I know that you would like to convey. And I would say that we are all on the same path. We have the same objective. That's what's so beautiful here. We have different methods. Right, and we should never change our methods. Right, we should never change our methods because someone is great at painting while another person is great at carpentry. We're going to need all of our talents because your talents is really your prosperity. And that has to be working for us. So, but I want to, just before we get out of here, Brother Sharif, you there? I don't know if he's still there.
You know, of course, man, you know, as always, man, peace to the family. Shout out to Black Talk Radio Network, Tando Radio. Shout out to the author today. And just appreciate you brothers for putting in the good work. You know, please keep doing it, man. If nobody told you today that they're proud of you and they appreciate you all as brothers, you know, standing up in the times that we're in and looking to create change in a positive direction for our people, you know, I salute you all and I thank you all. Because I appreciate the work that you all do, and I do the same work, and just, you know, I look forward to seeing you on the battlefield and doing what we need to do. So salute to you brothers out here and the sisters out here that's putting in the work.
Sharif, real quick before we get out of here, real quick, I think that it's very, very important. You said some very, very important things that a lot of our people in the community may not know because they haven't been taught, but there are some great opportunities that we need to fundamentally all have, as you know. And we're going to definitely start talking about that here on Tando, because the moment is of necessity now. And so continue to, and thank you for bringing that aspect, because a lot of our listeners may have never heard that on Tando, because I haven't talked about that, but because I think it's always a time for everything, and I'm glad that you invoked that, because it's now is time, because it's so, so important. And you know what I mean, brother. So I appreciate you. Tony, thank you so much for coming by and listening to Tando. Listen, everyone, it's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure you give one away. Much love, much respect.
Thank you,
we'll talk to you
thank
soon.
You.
Peace. All right, brother Tony. Thank you, brother.